This is a download from the BBC. For more information and our terms of use, go to bbc.co.uk/radio3.
Movie soundtracks are my hymns and oratorios, which I listen to in a state of religious ecstasy. They have been a primary inspiration to me throughout my career as a writer, and I have often played them while writing my books. I long to reproduce in my prose their evocativeness, sweep, and sensory impact. I grew up in the 1950s, when Hollywood was turning out widescreen Technicolor epics to compete with the threat of television. While I always appreciated a score's telepathic portrayal of the character's inner state, their gusts of joy or impulses of desire and fear, it was the grandiose and operatic scores that most enraptured me. The first soundtrack I ever owned was a vinyl recording of Max Steiner's Gone with the Wind, which I listened to endlessly as a teenager. What I heard in its variation on 19th century orchestral music was the very sound of history itself, whose radical changes Steiner, born to a wealthy Jewish family in Vienna during the decline of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, had witnessed and experienced in his own time. For me, Gone with the Wind extended a dark vision of the competing forces in Western culture that I also heard in Brahms' symphonies, which would help form the system of thought in my books. Among movies released in my youth, I adored Miklos Rozsa's score for Ben-Hur, which conveys the arrogance and majesty of Imperial Rome, implacable in its assertions, yet vulnerable to the soft invasion of Christianity. Rozsa presents Christian ideals as spiritually feminizing, canceling out Rome's rigid claims to worldly power. And he subtly interweaves European with Near Eastern tonalities, projecting a clash of cultures that lingers in our headlines today. A similar symbolic use of gender can be detected in the ravishingly beautiful score for The Egyptian, composed by Alfred Newman and Bernard Herrmann. This obscure 1954 film, which I discovered on late-night TV, follows the wanderings of an Egyptian doctor. He is caught up in an extraordinary moment in history when the pharaoh Akhenaten and Queen Nefertiti are establishing monotheism in the face of a stubbornly conservative priesthood and military. The tragedy of the naively innocent Akhenaten, whose new city would be destroyed and his name blotted out for 3,000 years, is caught by the music, which suggests mystical aspiration shadowed by doom. The exalted hymn to Aten is particularly eloquent in expressing an idea, that of one God whose time had not yet come. Another score capturing the sound of history itself was Maurice Jarre's soundtrack for David Lean's Lawrence of Arabia. This 1962 film had a stunning effect on my post-war generation who had been raised in a political vacuum in the U.S. It opened up a vast geography of complex, roiling ethnicities as the Ottoman Empire was being carved up by imperialist powers after World War I. The movie was a primer in cold realpolitik, the chess-like manipulations and ethical ambiguities in political decision-making. The thrilling overture to Lawrence of Arabia still makes my hair stand on end. Those thunderous Bedouin drums played on timpani are pure, masculine, and harshly ascetic, representing Arabia's entrenched ancient tribalism. The drums are followed by a Steiner-like romanticism as we hear T.E. Lawrence's attraction to the expansiveness and isolation of the desert. Prince Faisal, played by Alec Guinness, dryly remarks to Peter O'Toole's Lawrence that he is another of these desert-loving Englishmen. What we hear in that famous gorgeous theme, therefore, is Lawrence's own quest for identity, his self-purgation and self-punishment, along with his well-intentioned misunderstanding of the very peoples he tried to help. A sense of exhilarating open space, as well as hurtling history, is also conveyed by Bronislaw Kaper in his score for the 1962 version of Mutiny on the Bounty, starring Marlon Brando as Fletcher Christian. Here is the exhilarating sound of the Bounty sailing toward Tahiti, where one practically sees the three-masted ship gloriously skimming across the sea under an open sky. And then there is Kaper's Tahitian love song, which is hauntingly beautiful, despite the confused Hollywood exoticism betrayed by its touch of Brazilian samba. The film scores of Bronislaw Kaper, born in 1902 in Warsaw, are currently unheralded and warrant revival. Kaper's soundtrack for Butterfield 8, for example, created the entire sophisticated urban milieu through which Elizabeth Taylor as a high-priced Manhattan call girl moved. Released during a suffocatingly puritanical period in the U.S., Butterfield 8 had a tremendous impact on me and helped form my later libertarian theories about sex. Kaper's elegant piano bar music deftly captures the glittering yet empty world so subtly traversed by the film's jaded heroine. A similar atmosphere of feline sexual sophistication was created by John Dankworth in his marvelously atmospheric scores for a series of films that imprinted the fabulous image of Maud London on the minds of my sheltered generation in the U.S., notably The Servant, Darling, and Accident. Dankworth's score for Joseph Losey's Accident mirrors the film's mercurial conflation of moral ambiguities, so oblique and ironic, so delicate and sensuous. The reputation of film composer Bernard Herrmann has steadily risen with that of Alfred Hitchcock, who was once dismissed as a purveyor of potboiler murder mysteries, but who was hailed as an auteur by the young directors of the French New Wave. Herman's unstable world of existential angst is now universally admired. His overture to Hitchcock's North by Northwest, as conflated with Saul Bass's dynamic title design, can, in my view, stand alone as a major work of modern art. A minimalist scrum of horizontals and verticals as the angled wall of a glass-skinned office tower comes into focus. Herman wrote an impudent and slightly deranged fandango combined with great bolts of embattled chords and disjointed percussive rhythms in the avant-garde style of Stravinsky and Bartok. It captures the turmoil of urban life as the mirrored wall dissolves into real people, work slaves scurrying to survive in a grid imposed by faceless powers. The creative collaboration of Hitchcock and Herman cast a spell over later filmmakers, but few composers have matched Herman's sonorous poetry. Jerry Goldsmith's bewitching theme to the 1992 film Basic Instinct is a worthy tribute to Herman. It is gracefully integrated with a coolly winking abstract title design, a cubist collage whose muted browns keep shifting like shadows. Goldsmith's pulses and pauses mirror the enticing flight and pursuit of the characters in the film, in which Michael Douglas plays a police investigator trying to discover who Sharon Stone's cryptic femme fatale really is. Goldsmith's phrases retreat and restart in a tantalizing dialogue, an elusive chase for meaning as well as sexual conquest. Sexual passion also drives Jules Dassin's Phaedra, a neglected 1962 film that is one of the most compelling modernizations of a classical myth ever made. The proud Greek kings have become modern Greek shipping magnates, ruthlessly ruling the world. Melina Mercury plays Euripides' Phaedra, obsessed with her adoptive son, Hippolytus, played by Anthony Perkins, fresh from his matricidal role in Psycho. Miki's Theodorakis' cascading score conveys the madness and propulsiveness of fate or necessity from which Phaedra cannot escape. The music erupts like an inner storm whipped by furies. Later, the main theme is quietly restated with traditional Greek folk instruments to heartbreakingly elegiac effect. Movie music descends from often underrated 19th-century program music like Rimsky-Korsakov's enchanting Scheherazade. But I would argue that film music is a unique visionary mode, like Pindar's odes to the radiant divinity of victorious Greek athletes. I believe that soundtracks, heard apart from the films themselves, trigger an area of the mind that is otherwise inaccessible except in dreaming, a place where sound and image fuse in a primitive form of communication that preceded the development of language. Movie music has the power to seize and transport us to another dimension where pictures flash and the movie never ends.